The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Michael Shane.
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar.
You'd be a fool if you don't check out WTI Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Well, isn't that just a cat's ass?
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
I know. Difficult to hear with your head up your ass.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
All right, all those who are getting some hands up.
The Omega.
It's funny when friends get hurt.
Heartbreak Mike.
Michael, you're so bad.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Every day, I am here with my heart on my sleeve.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
If those of us who aren't, you enjoy this moment.
And on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
Oh, it plays records and 8-tracks? This thing's like right out of the future.
Hey everybody, this is Biff Naked.
Hi, this is April Hunter.
Hi, this is Chris Vianney. This is the one, the only, Knockout Tracy Brooks, and you are listening to WTR Sunday Night.
WTR Sunday Night.
I'm starting to notice something about you.
You're still here.
Welcome everyone to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. See you in hell indeed. Apropos, not just because tonight was Hell in the Cell. We have opinions. Brace yourself. It's gonna be loud.
We're gonna burn this motherfucker down.
Yeah.
And I'm usually the positive one.
Oh. Oh, no, no. This is a very special edition of WTR Sunday Night Live Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network. For starters, it is I, the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys? This week has been crap. But we got to talk about the pay-per-view.
Yeah, we do. And here, because we have no Tim Stein, and because we needed someone who had seen the whole show, we have a special guest with us tonight, the very embodiment of Fury, who is currently in the form of one Lindsay Ward.
I have opinions. And normally I can contain them until Thursday.
10 p.m.
I can't contain them till Thursday. I need to release them. And that's not even the profane rant that happened before the show.
All right. Welcome everyone to Wrestle Talk Radio Live here on Wrestle Talk Radio Network. If you're having issues with Twitch, I don't know why it's going up and down. Everything else seems to be running smooth, but Twitch is being Twitch. So if you're having issues, go listen on TuneIn Radio. Just search Wild Talk Radio Network. That's the best I could do. Or check out the archive. Reading the chat, we got a live interactive chat room here, wildtalkradio.com and twitch.tv/WTLive. And they've got opinions too. Okay. This show was fine. It was humming along. And then the main event happened, which was cool. New lighting and everything. It was different. It was unique. And then
they threw a fucking disqualification ending into a main event of a fucking Hell in a Cell. What the fuck?
We'll get to everything else.
I'm about to say, one at a time.
There's... I think if we try to talk about the rest of the show, it would just be in constant pain of why we are really here tonight.
It was constant downhill.
The show ended in DQ. Okay, I know last year it ended in no finish when Brock Lesnar showed up. Cool. They weren't debuting a new Fiend character and trying to make him the top star. This was simple. This was easy.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is totally why we can't have nice things.
So, Seth Rollins attempted to murder Bray Wyatt.
In many ways.
In many ways.
I think there was double. It was on both sides that the murder tried to happen, but Seth Rollins got serious about it at the end.
Wait, so are we agreeing to just skip everything and go straight to the main event?
Yeah, we're just talking about the main event.
There is no talking the rest of the show until we get this out of our system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, Fury first, everything else later.
Yeah. Negative, positives. Negatives, and positives. So, chair to head, one count. Oh, wait, we should back it up. Three stomps, pedigree stomp, one count. Six more stomps, booze. Chair to head, one count. Ladder to chair to head, two count. Toolbox to ladder to chair. Ref was cool with all that. He was cool with a big giant-ass mallet. But sledgehammer. 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 That's where we draw the line. Because giant mallet can't murder someone. Sledgehammer can.
The fact that Rollins ignored the giant mallet that was laying right there and grabbed the ladder proves he would be like one of the first people to go in the horror movie.
Yeah.
Or the fact that the sledgehammer was like right there the whole time and like he just didn't grab it straight off and just take him out. Like, I understand the whole you want to build to it kind of thing, but you had him lay there for probably 5 to 10 minutes. Piling stuff on him repeatedly and just hitting him with it. It's like, if you were just going to go straight to that, you should have just gone straight to that. Really, seriously. Like, that was just what?
Yeah. That was a what the fuck. So we use the sledgehammer, right? Let's go back. The referee's trying to talk Seth Rollins out of using the sledgehammer. The last time a referee talked someone out of using a sledgehammer, his name was Shawn Michaels. He was trying to talk, the Undertaker out of using it on Triple H. Or Triple H using it on the Undertaker. Whatever it was. Back in Hell,
I think it was technically both of them.
Probably both of them. And he was crying in the corner when it all happened. That was end of an era. WrestleMania 28. That was 7 years ago. Match still continued after the sledgehammer shot. Here, it did not.
I think what gets me about this is, and I'm much more composed than I was after the show, by the way, is you're waiting for Bray Wyatt to do something. This entire time that this is all going on, you're almost waiting for Bray to pull the Taker like sit up. Or like the lights to go out and he gets up and he's standing there. Or when the sledgehammer shot comes down, Bray Wyatt isn't laying there anymore. And he's like behind Seth Rollins. Like they pull some kind of camera fuckery somehow, some way that like when the sledgehammer shot comes down, Bray Wyatt isn't there anymore. The Fiend is either gone or he's behind Seth getting ready to murder Seth. Something. And for a split second after the sledgehammer happened, I thought that's what had happened because of the way that they were showing it. It didn't look like Bray was laying there. And then they did the wide shot and there he is, spread eagle, like the slut that he is, under all this stuff. And they're like ringing the bell and they're like, oh my God, he's dead. And everybody's freaking out and they raise the cage and they bring in the stretcher. And that's about when I lost it. Not that I feel like anybody should be denied medical treatment. I mean, if he was really hurt, yes, absolutely. But it's like, this is the guy that they have built up as unstoppable. Like, he murdered Finn Balor at SummerSlam. Straight up murdered him. And you're going to tell me
he was murdering him tonight.
He was murdering Seth tonight. You're going to tell me that, like, all of that, that the Fiend has to be carted off on a stretcher? That is some serious shit. I'm sorry. No offense to anybody, but that, and no offense to Bray Wyatt's well-being, because we all want him to be okay, but that is some shit. That is some serious shit. And then on top of it, you do the ref stoppage. I'm sorry, Mick Foley went off the top of the cell twice, and that was not enough to stop
and
that
then
match.
In the thumbtacks.
And then
yeah,
in the thumbtacks.
Yeah, and then the thumbtacks.
You know, and I believe with the Hunter match, he got lit in fire, along with going through the cell. I don't know, maybe it's just Foley. Maybe Foley's just special. But, like, I don't think I have ever seen Hell in a Cell be stopped because it is too violent.
The big boss man was hung.
Like, that is not to be, like, thirsty for blood, but that is the whole point of Hell in a Cell. It is the end all be all in WWE. If, like, that's it. You can't go no further than that.
Well, so what made me so upset? He no-sold it.
Right. After, right. He no-sold it. Like, the match could have fucking continued.
Everything that just happened.
He gets up.
No sells it and gives the mandible claw. And I'm sitting here and I'm like,
I was with the fans. Restart the fucking match.
Yeah, the ref stopped it because they went too far. Clearly not.
He's alive.
Apparently not. He's A-okay. And then not only that, it's like, so Bray Wyatt can't be, so this match can't restart and Bray Wyatt's not champion.
And you have Seth Rollins drooling in a pool of his own blood
fruit punch. But
still, the effect is he's laying there drooling in a pool of his own blood.
I mean, I get that, but it's just, first of all, blood back in WWE. Okay. Pro. Now, to me, as a wrestler, first of all, you no-sold it. You were under a whole bunch of weapons, made it look like an ECW match. And the next thing you know, when the smoke clears and everything happens, Senzu Bean grabs him and just no-sells it.
That's the point.
Yeah.
He's a monster. Yeah. He's beyond all of that.
Okay. I get that.
He's a horror movie character. He doesn't die.
Okay. So he's Jason.
Yeah, he doesn't die.
But the thing is it's like they should have restarted the match. They should have. That would have at least made it better.
Yeah, but Vince...
Like, even if that wasn't the plan, call a freaking audible. Everyone is pissed. Everyone online is pissed. You've got competition biting at your heels right now, and you're throwing this shit out the window.
So, oh, no. It all started on SmackDown, but we're not going to go there.
No, it starts and it ends with SmackDown, because Lindsay made this point right before we did this. Draft is Friday. Fox wants a fiend. Which is
they
why
can have Vasquez. I mean,
they're gonna get if Fiend goes to SmackDown, then this makes sense because you don't want to put the Universal title on him and send him to SmackDown.
The Beast versus the Fiend. I understand that,
but that's no, that's stupid. Beast versus Fiend is stupid. That's stupid booking because guess what? you're gonna devalue Bray Wyatt by putting him because Brock's gonna be the top star. Bray should be on Raw as the top star, as the champion. It's what the fucking crowd wanted tonight.
It's what everybody wanted. It's what they've been building him to. That was the whole point.
But you don't have Fox's money.
It doesn't matter if you sabotage the company caving to them. You can't give them everything they want.
Yeah, okay. Well,
here's the thing. You've effectively made Bray Wyatt exactly what he was before, because once again, Bray Wyatt can't get the fucking job done when it matters. I understand it's not entirely his fault. It was a ref stoppage, but still, in a title match, when all the chips are down, when everything's on the line, he's in Hell in a Cell, all this shit, right? Everything is pointing that Bray Wyatt is supposed to win. He's supposed to get the title. He loses. And the Fiend's a joke. They made the Fiend look completely stupid tonight.
I want to go.
They made did.
It, he's not. They didn't make him look stupid. They made him look weak, and that's terrible. So one thing they couldn't.
Which you know, like the whole reason this was booked the way it was to make him look invincible. But when he's laying there for 10 minutes and he's not getting up and he's not fighting back, that doesn't make him look invincible. I don't care how many times he kicks out, he looks like an idiot for not getting up and finishing it.
Right, it made him look weak, and you guys talked about it. We've talked about it. It was simple booking. This match was simple to book. Shouldn't have gone past 10 minutes. The lighting was cool for a while because it gave you that horror movie effect, which was smart if you're going to have the horror movie character murder somebody.
Also, it's the one way you can actually forget that stupid red cage exists.
Yeah.
Yep.
That too. They had an opportunity. And you heard the fans, and that's the problem. You heard the fans cheering for Bray to get up. Every time Seth Rollins picked up a fucking weapon,
they
booed louder and louder and louder because they wanted Bray Wyatt. They bought into Bray.
They cheered the Fiend. because The Fiend is the coolest thing going in wrestling right now. They booed Seth every time Seth got the advantage.
And tomorrow,
the longer Seth hit finishers, the louder they booed.
And tomorrow night, he's going to get booed out of the fucking building.
And
maybe that's the point? I don't know.
Then they boo.
That's not the point.
They boo louder at the ending. They bullshit chant. They restart the match chant. They AEW chant.
Yeah.
That's the last thing you want to hear.
Sad, but yeah.
But at the end of the day, I can say this. Brent, I hope you're listening. Both matches on AEW and Hell in a Cell had referee's discretion involved in the finish.
Sorry. It's not funny, but it's completely funny.
He's going to yell at me if he heard that. Anyway, but The Fiend, that simple character. Simple, easy, effective. They screwed up.
I think what's like most jarring about it is like, okay, I can almost accept the ref stoppage. I can almost get there, except for the fact that you had Bray get up. Like after the bell rings, after they've like tried to wrestle him onto like a stretcher and shit, you have Bray get up and act like nothing's wrong. Like that's the part that's annoying. That and Seth didn't just go for the sledgehammer. But I mean, it's everything else was fine up until that point. Like we were going okay up until then, but. Why? I just don't. I mean, I'm sure there is a grander plan for this that will be revealed in like 2 weeks. It'll all make fucking sense. I'll be like, oh yeah, okay, yeah, I guess, yeah. But right now, it's stupid. It's absolutely stupid.
It is. Like right now, it screams of two things. Yes, Fox is demanding The Fiend because they want every big star. So get ready for your main event of Raw to be Sin Cara versus one of the colognes. Take your pick. And
are they still signed?
Yes, they are.
They're working.
I don't know how.
They're working in Puerto Rico. That's what they're doing.
But it screams of, we don't want to take the belt off Seth, but this is the only challenger we have, but we don't want to bury him because he's brand new. He's supposed to be a big thing, but we don't know how to work with him as the champion. They wrote themselves into a corner and they thought this was it.
You just have, you have Prozac Bray run around the funhouse with the title and do what he's normally doing, except he has a title with him. That's all you do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you hang it up on his wall of victims.
Yeah. And he keeps doing what he's doing. Cause I'm still not entirely convinced that Funhouse Bray doesn't exist outside of the funhouse. Like they haven't on TV at least proven that he does. So it's like, who can get to Bray Wyatt? Where is he? Like who can find the champion? Because you have to find The Fiend if you want to find him. Do you really want to go find that? Lurking in a dark corner of the building somewhere, ready to kill someone? I mean, like, shit.
I think that's part of the reason for their hesitation is because you can't book him the way you normally do. You can't sneak attack the guy. You can't book him in backstage promos. You can't have him do interviews.
Then why create
Brock Lesnar literally hide at his house for 6 months? I mean, I'm sure they can get around it.
Then why create
He's
a character?
A hermit.
Why create the character if you don't know how to book it?
Big name.
Okay, let's rewind that statement. How many characters can we apply that to that WWE and Vince McMahon have had no idea what to do?
I should rephrase that.
Everybody?
Don't book the match if you don't know how to... Don't put him in the match. It's a better way to put it. Don't put him in the match if you don't know how to give him the title.
That's the thing. They thought this was a good idea. They thought this would make him look like an unstoppable monster without taking the title off of Seth. No, it just makes everything look bad.
But he did good as when he was WWE champion.
Yes, but no one remembers that because they buried him. They completely...
Which is very sad. But if you really look into it, like literally, that was one of the high points where, one, they threw a curveball that Bray Wyatt was WWE champion. And we were just like, all right, well, I'm not mad at this. Congratulations, Bray Wyatt. And for that, he gave probably one of the best, you know, promos for WWE championship victories. And it literally, it was the start of the fire. It was like a literally start of that Bray Wyatt movement. And Bray can do it again. And just like everyone says,
he had it. He had the movement going.
He did. I mean, I can't even say that. Well, I don't know. After he came out in SummerSlam, and of course with the big helmet, with the big lantern and stuff like that. I mean, hey, it was great. People could get onto him, but it's a second match.
So
true.
So
that,
what?
I'm saying people that the way that people said think about it, it's like it's his second match. He shouldn't be winning the title in a second match. Well, technically, it's not his second match, boys and girls.
He's been with the company for like 10 years.
For 10 years. And it's just that it's his second match as the Fiend. As the Fiend.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When you've got that character, yeah, you give him the title quickly.
Yeah.
You had simple booking all the way up to WrestleMania. Wonder why? You have him just run through every single person, and then you create this ultimate underdog, and guess what? This ultimate underdog somehow beats the Fiend at WrestleMania. Gets a cheap win on the Fiend, because that's the only way you should beat the Fiend. Simple fucking booking.
No, we gotta book twists and turns, and we gotta be you gotta be unpredictable. Because who the fuck would predict a disqualification in a fucking Hell in a Cell?
We all should have. We should all.
A match that literally almost killed a man.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
I'm looking for glad X-Pac.
I don't think he's behind that.
I'm glad X-Pac buried it. Good.
Everybody. I mean, I hate to bury it. Like, I hate to be so negative about it. Like, I hate to shit on it. But it just makes no fucking sense. Like, everything was there. Everything was ready to go. And I get that you want. And I guess it's because they want Bray Wyatt to be the big bad guy. But that's the nature of wrestling today. We cheer the bad guys and we boo the good guys. It's what we do. Because we're all a bunch of assholes.
Here's the thing. There was an edict in WWE for a while. There are no more faces and heels. There are just characters. So now that you have a situation where, yeah, here we're cheering the character. It doesn't matter if he's face or heel. We're cheering the character. And now WWE doesn't like that. It was their own decision to make it that way.
You are absolutely correct.
Yep. I don't know. I mean, it's like this. The thing that's like amazing about this is the whole thing ever since Bray Wyatt's been back could have jumped the shark so hard and could have been so terrible and everybody could have hated the shit out of it and they could have made it a joke. But for whatever reason, they didn't make it a joke. He got it over. All of it, from the Firefly Funhouse straight through to the Fiend, like straight on, all of it. Everybody except for me was fine with it. Loved the shit out of it. Like, everybody just bought directly into it. He shows up at SummerSlam with his own head mounted on his lantern, the freaky lighting, the freaky music, the freaky mask, all that shit goes over gangbusters and has been over ever since. And then they get here. And, like, everybody's waiting for it. Everybody wants that moment. We're all anticipating it. It's like Bray Wyatt's going to win. We all know Bray Wyatt's going to win. It's what we want. And then they're like, nope.
We should have all seen this coming. We should have all seen it coming, because I'm going to read you something. I've been looking for it for the first few minutes, and I finally found it. And I quote, at WWE Tweets, at Hell in a Cell Live on the WWE Network, the match between Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt will most likely end in pin, submission, disqualification. This was tweeted out on October 1st.
It's a Hell in a Cell match. It can't end in disqualification. It's a fucking glorified cage match with weapons.
It currently has 45% for disqualification.
It can't. It's in the rules. It can't.
That's why it's a gimmick where the feud goes to die. Because not only is it such a dangerous match, there's no way there can be a non-finish. That's the point.
Like, the only way it works is if both guys get taken out by Brock Lesnar, and then, yeah, okay, nobody can get up after Brock Lesnar committed a murder. All right. I'll buy that. I can legit buy that. But, like, this, no. Like, you should have had, because we all know that they were there, a McMahon, it doesn't matter who, you could have had Hunter for all we care.
He could have been Shane for all I care, and he just got fired.
Right? Walk out and be like, it's not going to end like that. Restart the match. I'm with Omega. They should have called the audible. They should have had somebody go out there and be like, you know what? Nope. We're not going to let it end this like this. You know, boom. There you go. Match restarts. Like, and maybe we should have known, because on the house show circuit, that's how the Bray Wyatt-Seth Rollins matches have been ending, is in DQ. Like, Seth Rollins holds more wins over the Fiend on anybody on non-televised events, because, like, Bray holds the Mandible Claw too long, and that's how Seth's been winning. But
those aren't Hell in a Cell matches.
Those aren't Hell in a Cell matches. Like, it makes no sense. And what really sucks is the women's match at the beginning of the show was super fucking good, and this ruined it.
Yeah. We should be talking about a match of the year candidate. Instead, we have to talk about the horse shit that was the finish of the whole show.
Like, that's so wrong. Makes me very sad. Makes me very, very, very sad. So
What's the most upsetting about it is this is the Fiend is the brainchild of Bray. This is not only his personality and his performance getting it over. This shit's coming out of his head to begin with. This is all him building it up.
Mm-hmm.
This is the most anyone has worked on a single character in the WWE in decades. And
since the Velveteen Dream.
No, there's been way more put into this than Velveteen. Velveteen goes all out. Bray goes all out and then finds more to go.
I have a feeling Velveteen's getting a lot of help. Not that he isn't brilliant, but when you have everybody going around saying Bray Wyatt is a creative genius, because if you think about it, the whole character from the get-go, from ever since Husky Harris died to Randy Orton's punt to the head, the whole creation of Bray Wyatt is all Bray. The guy that plays him created the character, created the mythos, flushed it all out. There's an entire backstory there that we don't even know. You know, and he got it so refined and so good. He got it down to like the little ticks, like of how the character moves, how the character speaks, the little, you know, when he's lying, how he sort of like flinches and moves around and stuff. He got it down to the clothes, like that flushed out. He knew what it was, and he's been able to carry it through to now. And the fact that he had the whole Matt Hardy bullshit, went through that, had a very unfortunate year last year, and was pretty much off TV from August of last year to August of this year. And he took that time, and he created what we're seeing now. Think about that, y'all. He created this on his own, took it to management, and was like, here, this is what I want to do. And they got behind it, and they're like, yes, do the thing. And they threw money behind it because they got the puppets created. They got the mask created. They got the lantern created, the fun house, all of it. They brought in an external director for this because they were that behind it. All of it.
The thing with Bray Wyatt, and as you were talking about that, yes, he is a genius, because when he went to FCW, that, and just his promos alone, that was the most amazing thing that I have seen for a wrestler. He literally brought it down to a T. And the fact that he transitioned from follow the fire, you know, follow the buzzards to let me in. That right there, and it's all him. No, you know, he got people to, you know, fund this, let's do this, what's that. You know, it's a case of this is all Bray. So as I'm really sitting here thinking, what if this was Bray's idea for the storyline, how it should go?
No. Bray has control of the character. Bray has control of the look. He has control of a lot of that. He does not control the path of the storyline. That's up to the bookers.
You want to know if Bray had control of this character and this finish, he would have been stretchered out. Because then he could take that, take it into the funhouse, and twist it into something. It could send the Fiend into a crazier direction if Bray had some creative aspect control of that finish. Because you can get away with that in horror movie logic. You know what I mean? But
see, Here's what you do. You put the Universal title on the Fiend tonight. You get to the draft and you get told by WWE management, okay, the Fiend is now on SmackDown, but we can't have the Universal title and the WWE title on the same show. So the Fiend has to relinquish the belt. And on SmackDown, the Fiend goes absolutely apeshit because of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really kind of that simple.
I said at the top, easy fucking booking. And we've spent the last 30 minutes telling them why it's easy fucking booking. Yet, well, they didn't listen. Nor will they listen.
Of course not.
But they achieved their goal because everybody's talking about it. We're sitting here talking about it, which is one of the main points, is you want people to sit here and talk about your show, but I'm pretty sure you don't want people to be sitting here bashing the shit out of your main event and not talking about anything else that happened or what could happen coming out of your show. Like, now it's, where do you go with this? Where do you go with the Fiend? What is he supposed to do? I mean, I understand this is the end for the Fiend and Seth Rollins, so depending on who goes where in the draft, that's a reset button for one or both of them. But it's like, what are you supposed to do? How do you recover the Fiend from this? What is what is Funhouse Bray supposed to do with this? Because he's the mouthpiece. Like, that's the brilliance of this character, is he's self-managing himself. Like, Funhouse Bray is the mouthpiece. The Fiend is the murderer. So he's doing his talking for himself, but he's not doing it as the Fiend. He's doing it as himself.
You know, we compare
him.
And
the two do not cross.
Yeah. Like, we were supposed to call him, like, the next Undertaker. He is currently the next Undertaker and Paul Bearer at the same time.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. It's like you're waiting for him to almost do something like that, where it's like he either vanishes, or he sits up, or whatever. And they did have him get up. They did. But it was after the match was over, and everybody was super pissed by that point, and it didn't matter. Like,
if you had had him sit up just as Seth was raising the sledgehammer, the roof would have blown off the place.
Oh, shit. That would have just been it. Or, like, the lights go down, and then they come back up, and he's up. Like,
something.
That would have just been it.
Something. Anything. To quote, I'm quoting Sean Waltman. I know you might not have me back on the watch along for one of these, but how the hell do you get DQ'd in a Hell in a Cell match?
Thank you, Sean Waltman. Thank you.
But let's listen live to the arena. That's not the reaction you're supposed to have when your baby face supposedly wins, and then
after the show they were chanting a refund.
That was them leaving the building, the booth.
I mean, I hope they have a really good explanation tomorrow on Raw, but if they don't, I don't know where you go from here with him, with Bray. I really don't. Like, I'm kind of at a loss. Like, what are you supposed to do? It's like making him champion would have been the easiest thing, because again, it's how do people get to him? How do you challenge him? How do you fight him? You know, the Fiend is the one that goes after people. So who's got the balls to step up to the Fiend and challenge the Fiend? I know one person that probably would have done it. It would have been fine. It would have actually been an interesting challenge for him, but I guess we'll not know right now. We might know later, but I don't know.
Chad Gable beat Baron Corbin tonight because why the fuck not? He's Shorty now. He's Shorty Gable. Randy Orton beat Ali for whatever the fuck. Ali had an awesome RKO counter. Should have been a finish, but hey, no. RKO.
No. Why would we put over a new star?
Why do that? We book a 6-man tag that ends in disqualification for too much ass kicking.
It seems to be a theme tonight.
And then Strowman knocked out AJ Styles.
That was good.
It was funny.
Because he's setting up
the AJ sold that brilliantly.
He did. AJ was really good on that one. Harper and Rowan had an awesome match with Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan.
That was good.
Daniel's full on hug face again.
Hug it out, bro. Hug it out. But yeah, this match was really good.
Bailey dropped the hugging gimmick, so he picks it back up.
He picked it back up. But this matchup was really, really good. Just Harper and Rowan just beating the shit out of Bryan and Roman for a while. Yeah.
That was entertaining.
That was really good.
He hit him with a barricade.
He did.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
And that spear through a table. Whew. Hopefully Roman's okay. So yeah, that was good. We have a brand new SmackDown Women's Champion in Charlotte Flair. Woo.
Fox wanted a big name on the title.
Can't get much bigger than Charlotte.
Match was fine. I mean, it was there. It was good. Enjoyable.
That's just fine. I'm just so tired of Charlotte with the belt.
Yeah. A rant for another day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka and Kairi Sane are your new women's tag team champions. The Mist is back.
I will not complain about this at all. I will take it. It's a victory. I love Alexa and Nikki, don't get me wrong, but like the fact that they put it on the Kabuki Warriors, okay, all right, I'm fine with this. I'm not going to complain at all. They deserve it. End of story.
R-Truth became the WWE 24/7 champion. How he got to that point is this. Tamina interrupted the Street Profits gimmick and so did Carmella. It ended in a little thing, and Tamina won the title. She then knocked out Breeze. Welcome back to pay-per-view, Tyler. And then R-Truth ended up winning the title back after a super kick, as Tamina was using Funaki as a human shield.
I was so hoping Funaki was going to win that title.
So was I.
One could dream.
Again, our hopes are Sadly disappointed.
On the pre-show, Taya won via sharpshooter over Lacey Evans.
And then the good guy sucker punched their opponent after the match.
But that's all the setup. Tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw, Lacey Evans versus Taya in a last woman standing match.
Because reasons.
That's what heroes do, is they sucker punch people they've already defeated.
That'll be the ninth match they've had this year. Fourth this month.
This.
Now, with all that filler out of the way, all that negativity out the window. Holy shit, Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks had a hell of a Hell in a Cell match. That was great.
That was fantastic.
They did things I wouldn't think we would see.
They got creative.
They did. Holy shit, they did.
They set such a beautiful tone for this show, just of how good that match was, because I always maintain that it's like, you can tell generally how good a pay-per-view is going to be by how good the opening match is. So when the opening match is really good, you're like, okay, all right, this may not be that bad. This could be really good, right? Because Sasha and Becky, they went out there and they killed it. Like, God, they just brought the house down. Holy shit, was I wrong?
Yeah,
but, you know,
the bookers killed it after that.
But it's like, this was so good. And I told Rock, I said, it was kind of amazing because the first Women's Hell in the Cell was 2 years ago. And it was just okay, right? Like, they kind of played it safe. They tried to do some things. They really didn't know how to work with it. They were just kind of like, yeah, okay, we're here. And it was like, yeah, all right, it's there. It was good. It was fine. This was...
Well, they crapped on that from the beginning because they booked a stretcher gimmick.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was Becky and Sasha, I feel like, making up for that a little bit and just going balls to the wall. We are going to do everything we want to in this cage and nobody can stop us. It's the literal, once you're on live television, there is nothing they can do to stop me. The worst they can do is turn off the camera. That's it. That's the worst they can do to me right now. I'm in front of however many thousand people. I'm in Hell in a Cell. Fuck it. We're going for it. And that's what they did.
I don't know how many times Sasha bounced off that cell, but it was a lot.
It was.
I hope her husband is giving her back rubs and ice because I feel like she needs it.
I hope her knees have all of the ice.
Yeah. The meteor into the ladder, driving Becky into the cage was something.
Yeah.
That was something. She fell into the cage from drop kicks like 4 times.
She just needs some 10 to 11 kicks.
We had the open chair spot was dangerous.
Oh, yeah, God, yes.
Then we wedge kendo sticks into the cage. Okay.
And use them as a turnbuckle.
Use them as a turnbuckle. You needed something for support, so let's put a chair there. Then let's put a person on the chair.
Well, like Sasha set up those kendo sticks.
Right.
You know, and then got her head rammed into them. So Becky then propped a chair up into the corner and then propped it with a third kendo stick so it was all nice and solid.
You know, structure is important.
Yeah, well, like, because they had Chekhov's gun hanging off the side of the cage for a while with the chair that was just put into the cage legs first and go, okay, haven't used that. Why is that there for 10 minutes? Whereas, like, the spot in the corner is the kind of booking that I like. Like, there's some kind of purpose to it. It's like, okay, the kendo sticks don't have the give that the cage does, so I'm gonna use them to ram your head into. And then Becky's like, good idea, I'm gonna add to this now.
So she put Sasha on a chair. Becky does a drop kick off the apron onto the chair, sending her into the cell,
right into the corner.
Yeah,
not the soft part of the cage.
No, the hardest part of the cage.
The hardest part of the cage.
Because reasons. Oh God. And then what else? Let's see. We had the meteor through a table.
Mm.
Then we went hardcore with about a dozen chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Felt very ECW.
I feel like they watched a bunch of Hell in the Cell matches together. Like, they just were in the car and they queued up the network. And they're like, all right, we're just going to study everything everybody else has done and we're going to improve on it. But the only thing they didn't do was throw one or the other through or off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
I'd like to commend everyone involved in Hell in a Cell tonight for not climbing to the top of the cage for no reason.
Well, I feel like the only reason they didn't is because I'm pretty sure Hunter said no. That's the only reason I feel like they didn't do that. And no offense to Bray or Seth, but I'm also fairly sure they were told fuck no on that. Like, neither one of you, you're both too important. We don't need anybody getting hurt tonight. You stay on the ground.
You're both too important. Now do this finish that will ruin both of you.
Yes, pretty much.
Then we had a Bexploder off the top rope into the dozen chairs, leading to the disarm her, and Sasha Banks tapped out.
It is a great finish.
Great finish. A little surprising, but great finish. Yeah, so that's Hell in a Cell. That was a thing that happened tonight. It was all fine. It was all moving along. Everyone was poking fun. Oh my god, they announced four matches during the day. Ho hum, ho hum, ho hum. Off to Hell in a Cell we go. Then we had a finish that made people question things.
You know what? I've decided it. When I get 2K20, I'm fixing this mistake.
Smart, smart.
Because I can. Damn it. It's realistic enough. People will buy it, right?
Yeah.
This never happened. Tonight never happened. You know what? Bray Wyatt beat Seth Rollins. Just wait 3 weeks to see the actual match. But it totally, that tonight, no. That didn't happen. Nothing. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. I don't know what else to do. I'm trying to cope at this point because this was just such utter bullshit. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, I do not get excited for pay-per-views because I get my hopes up and then they forever get dashed.
Yeah, that's everybody.
So, pick 'em results. They're a little off. They're a little off because matches were announced and things like that. So, 8-Ball went...
I know my results are horrible.
8-Ball and the intern tied at 1-3. I like how the dude doing the pick sheet couldn't add more picks to the actual matches.
Right, you slacker.
Same. Omega went 1-7.
Yeah, I don't know where my head was at.
Amy and Jenna went 3-1. Mike, Jobber, and Tim went 3-5. Sheila went 4-0. So she got the four matches that were announced correct, so...
Sure.
Wait, Brent, how did you score the finish? Hold on, gotta open this thing. How did he score the finish of this thing? Let's see. He gave Bray the win? Okay. I guess that's how it actually happened. Okay. Kamori went 4-1. Lindsay, myself, Rob, and Subway, we all went 4-4.
Woohoo! I guess.
That was pick 'em. The show was...
Certainly not predictable.
Clearly.
Was it, though? No, was it really?
It really wasn't. He's for Omega. Yeah. See how they followed up tomorrow night, Monday Night Raw. We'll talk about it on the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern. Thursday night, it's The Rack. Kind of did Hell in a Cell. Figure out what we'll do Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern.
We're still gonna do Hell in a Cell because I still have to rant about it. I'm gonna bitch about this for about 3 weeks. So just everybody be ready for that.
Constant content coming to The Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, live Thursday nights. Check out The Rack Extra Reviews, SmackDown, the premiere, available now, rackradioshow.com. Saturday night, midnight-ish, it's another edition of CB Radio. Last night we did the AEW Fantasy Wrestling Draft and more. Check it out at cbradiolive.com. What we're doing this week may drive you insane. Who knows? cbradiolive.com. If there's stuff for them to talk about, these guys will be live next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Tim's on Twitter, at Flames Forums. He has a political one. I don't remember what it was. But tweet him at Flames Forums about, I don't know.
Tweet him about your nipples.
But you can. Tweet him pictures of feet. Don't do it. He'll get mad. But do it.
Tweet him pictures of kittens.
There you go. Tweet Tim pictures of kittens. At Flames Forums. Lindsay, what's your Twitter and stuff?
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD. Listen to the show Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. You know the drill.
Omega.
So you can find me under the name TJ Omega everywhere except Facebook, which is where you can find me under TJ Reviews. For TJ Omega, you will find that on Twitter. You will find that on YouTube. You'll find that at TJOmega.net. My soul needs to recover now.
Mike.
Go to me on Twitter, the WTR Oreo. Hit me up on the Twitch page, Stu Heyman. I'm doing a WWE Universe mode. I need a drink.
Follow, subscribe, twitch.tv/WTRLive. You have Amazon Prime, link to your Twitch account called Twitch Prime. You can subscribe for free. You can use creator code ROCKETSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. I'm sorry for internet issues. Make sure you check out this archive because you'll hear the entire thing without any interruptions because that's the way it goes. We'll be back next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be here all week long, along there with the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com. Here we go. Give it all and never look the less. Here we go. We coming.
WTRSradio.com.